ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 11 एंड 12। वी आर रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 12। कांक्षातः तः कर्मणां सिद्धिम् यजन्त इह देवता क्षिप्रम् हि मानुषे लोके सिद्धिर्भवति कर्मज। ट्रांसलेशन: मैन इन दिस वर्ल्ड डिजायर सक्सेस इन फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज एंड देयरफॉर दे वर्शिप डेमिगॉड्स। क्विकली ऑफ कोर्स मैन गेट्स रिजल्ट्स फ्रॉम फ्रूटिव वर्क इन दिस वर्ल्ड। परपट: There is a great misconception about the gods or the demigods of this material world, and the man of less intelligence, although passing as great scholars, take these demigods to be various forms of Supreme Lord. Actually, the demigods are not different forms of God, but they are God's different parts and parcels. God is one, and the parts and parcels are many. The Vedas says, Nityo Nityanam, God is one. Ishwara Parama Krishna, the Supreme God is one, that is Krishna, and the demigods are delegated with powers to manage this material world. These demigods are all living entities, that is Nityanam, with different grades of material power. They cannot be equal to the Supreme God, Narayan, Vishnu or Krishna. Anyone who thinks that God and the demigods are on the same level is called an atheist or Pashandi. Even the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva cannot be compared to the Supreme Lord. In fact, the Lord is worshipped by demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, Shiva Viranchinutam. Yet curiously enough, there are many human leaders who are worshipped by foolish men under the misunderstanding of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism. Iha Devata denotes a powerful man or demigod of this material world. But Narayan, Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not belong to this world. He is above or transcendental to material creation. Even Sripad Shankaracharya, the leader of the impersonalist, maintains that Narayan or Krishna is beyond this material creation. However, foolish people, that is Hritajnana, worship the demigods because they want immediate results. They get the results, but do not know that results so obtained are temporary and are meant for less intelligent people. The intelligent person is in Krishna consciousness, and he has no need to worship the paltry demigods for some immediate temporary benefits. The demigods of this material world, as well as their worshippers, will vanish with the annihilation of this material world. The boons of the demigods are material and temporary. Both the material worlds and their inhabitants, including the demigods and their worshippers, are bubbles in the cosmic ocean. In this world, however, human society is mad after temporary things such as material opulence of possessing land, family, and enjoyable paraphernalia. To achieve such temporary things, people worship the demigods or powerful man in human society. If a man gets some ministership in the government by worshipping a political leader, he considers that he has achieved a great boon. All of them are therefore nov-toeing to the so-called leaders or the big guns in order to achieve temporary boons, and they indeed achieve such things. Such foolish men are not interested in Krishna consciousness for the permanent solution to the hardships of material existence. They are all after sense enjoyment, and to get a little facility for sense enjoyment, they are attracted to worship empowered living entities known as demigods. This verse indicates that people are rarely interested in Krishna consciousness. They are mostly interested in material enjoyment, and therefore they worship some powerful living entity. I also read the verse 11th. Only translation, the purport is quite big. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sateva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. Translation: As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Translation again, verse 11. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Translation, text 12. Man in this world desires success in fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, man gets results from fruitive work in this world. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak something for my purification. There was a man who would every day worship Lord Vishnu. And every day he would offer incense, lamp, many other paraphernalia in the worship of the Lord. But he was very fruitive in the sense he would always ask something from the Lord. Lord, please give me this, please give me that. Please fulfill this desire of mine and I will do this much for you. And days pass, months pass, but fortunately or unfortunately, this man found that his desires are not getting fulfilled, what he's asking for. And one day, out of frustration, he decided that, let me just give up the worship of Lord Vishnu. I'm spending so much of my money, so much of my time, so much of my energy. No, paise ka dhua ho raha hai khali. Agarbatti ghuma ghuma ke. There's no point. So let me just switch over to some other demigod, some other god. And he started worshipping Lord Shiva. So one day while he was offering incense to Lord Shiva, what happened was that deity of Lord Vishnu was still there. But he would not offer it to Lord Vishnu. He would just show it to Lord Shiva. Because he started feeling disgust or grudge within himself that maybe Lord Vishnu doesn't exist. And even if he exists, he doesn't listen to me. So what he did, he offered incense to only Lord Shiva. But what happened was that fumes, what is called? That dua of that agarbati was Shishrada Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. That fumes were constantly going towards Lord Vishnu only. So this person got confused. What's happening? I don't want to worship Lord Vishnu. And now all this incense, the fumes, all the credit is going to Lord Vishnu. Maybe Lord Shiva will get angry on me. So what he did is that he took a pair of cottons and immediately he plugged in this cotton plugs into the nose or nostrils of Lord Vishnu. Just so that Lord Vishnu should not get any benefit or share. But what happened, as soon as he plugged in, Lord Vishnu immediately appeared in front of him. Of course, this is a story, but wonderful lessons can be learned. Lord Vishnu immediately appeared to this man and said, "My dear, ask something. I am really pleased with you." And this person was shocked. He said, "How is it possible that all throughout these days I was worshipping Lord Vishnu, offering so much of worship, but then he didn't appear. And today, when I am not in the mood of offering anything, and he suddenly appeared in front of me." So Lord, he asked Vishnu, "Why you have appeared here?" He said, "I am very, very much pleased with you today." He said, "Why?" He is himself surprised. He said, Lord Vishnu replied, saying that this is for the first time that you considered me as a person. And as soon as you thought that Lord Vishnu should not smell this wonderful incense and you plugged in, I thought, no, I must give you darshan. So he immediately appeared and told that devotee, that person, that I am very pleased. Now, this is just a story, but a wonderful lesson can be learned that one thing is, Lord reveals himself as one approaches him. If we approach the Lord in a very personal way, Lord is willing to reciprocate with us in a very, very personal way. It's a fact. That's what is today's verse. That is text 11. Yethamam prapadyante. And Lord, and I could not read the purport, but Prabhupada says in the purport that if you approach the Supreme Lord as a person, he lovingly reciprocates with you. Not only that, the second lesson which we can learn is that most of the people in this world, they worship somebody or other for some purpose. And if I am worshipping somebody, if I am worshipping some God, and if my purpose of worshipping that, if my purpose is not solved by worshipping that God, then I just switch over. I don't care. A lot of my money is wasted, a lot of my time is wasted. Let me just invest my money and time and just check out if something else works out. So that's what people in this world are, you know, looking for. They switch over to one person, to another person, to one God, to another God. For what? So that their results, their desires, their ambitions may get fulfilled. And basically, and whoever, for them, for those who are interested in only getting some benefits out of from God, they are not at all interested who God is. Whether demigod is a God, or whether Krishna is God, or whether a person on a street is God, he's not concerned. That's secondary. But the first concern for that person is whether my selfish agenda, whether my desires are getting fulfilled or not. This is a typical mentality of practically everybody who approaches God in today's society, today's world. And this is what is the purport all about. This is what is the translation of text 11 and 12 is. 11 says, "Ye athamam prapadyante," as one approaches, I reward him accordingly. And second is, no person wants some material success, so he worships some demigod. So this story illustrates these two points. And the tendency of a living entity or a conditioned soul is that he wants to give minimum and, you know, reap something maximum out of it. He wants to work less, benefit maximum. He wants to, like, most of the time when I was in college, what we used to do is, no, we used to tell our friends, no, to put proxy. But we would never attend any lectures. We would bunk the lectures and go and sit somewhere else and just enjoy. But attendance was marked present. Just to show that, okay, I'm, you know, physically not there, but mentally. In consciousness, I'm somewhere. Whether I'm physically not here, but consciousness, in the heart of my heart, I'm here in the classroom. So this is the tendency that we want to reap maximum but work very less or give very less. And most of the people in this world, it's a general observation. It's not that, no, I am saying this, but it's a generalized observation that people, they treat, when they go to temple, they treat temple as an hotel. Merely, simply as an hotel. And they consider the deities, the worshipable deities, as somebody who will fulfill, you know, his demands. We can say waiter, unfortunately. That's what is the people's tendency today, is that they consider temple as, they treat temple as hotel, and they treat the deities as waiter. And you know, when we go to hotel, the first thing is that we ask, okay, no, okay, get this thing for me. And if there is a lot of crowd, I mean, if there is no place, and this person who is taking order, what do you call, I don't know, what do you call it? Chef? No. Captain. He's taking order from somewhere else on the other table and you immediately tell, okay, no? Maza kade pahle ya aani order kya? You come first to me. I'm getting late. And not only that, but we immediately ask, okay, now I order, no, one vada pav, one dosa, one cutting. Immediately it should come on my table. We don't see what's happening around, but we just order and we just want it for ourselves quickly. And that's what most of the people, they when they visit temple, they do that. They consider God as an order supplier. Simply order supplier. Okay, God, now give me one gadi, one bangla, one nokar, one nokri, one chokri. So many things. No, list of things are there. With a desire that Lord must fulfill my desires very quickly. And not only that, but if our desires are not fulfilled, or say for example, if everything is, whatever is order, everything is there. Okay, one dosa has come, one idli has come, one pav vada has come, one cutting tree has come, everything has come. But chutney or sambar is remaining. Maybe the waiter forgot to get it. Then suddenly the first thing that our eyes goes is, "Arey, kya nahi aaya?" We don't see what has come on our table, but we first notice what has not yet come. And that's what we ask from the, that's what we do when we come in front of the deities. Most of the people, they complain, why this happened to me? They don't appreciate what God has given them. But most of the time they simply complain, and most of the time they simply, you know, keep on repeating the list of items which they need, which they think that these are the priorities of my life. So what happens is that we actually miss, or we actually forget to appreciate at the first place what God has given us. Rather than thanking Him for what He has supplied us, we simply ask for more, or we simply complain. And that is one of the deep rooted conditioning of a conditioned living entity, that he can't appreciate what God has given to him in the present, and he simply hankers for what he doesn't have. That is one of the lamentable thing. Not only it is said that if you can't thank the blessings of God, then you are most unfortunate. Because you don't know how much God has given to you well in advance. Say for example, this body, if somebody tells us, okay, no, you sell this body at the cost of 1 crore. Now, will anybody sell his or her own body at the cost of 1 crore? If somebody is ready to give 10 crores, will anybody dare? No. Why? What's so important? There's nothing inside. But no one knows the importance. Yes, this body is so precious. Nobody can, bargain it. This body itself is a gift of God, which we fail to understand. And we think, no, I need more. And we keep on demanding. There is no question of serving, only question of commanding and demanding. That is the lamentable condition of a living entity. That instead of thanking God, instead of being grateful to God for what He has given us, we complain. And it is said that if you wake up in the morning without any pain, if you wake up in the morning without any pain, then you are fortunate than millions of people. Why? Because millions of people get up early in the morning with the experience, with the pain as the first sensation or experience. They just can't think of anything else but pain that is excruciating. What to speak of remembering God? That's a far out thing. It is said that if you can make savings in your life, for those who are earning, and if they can make savings in their life, then it is said that you are part of 10% of the prosperous people of this world. Because most of the people can't even make savings. They are just living cut to cut. They are just trying to somehow or other, you know, pull their life. If we can, we should thank God. And it is said that if you are able to make your basic needs, then you are richer than 75% of the entire population of the world. If your basic needs are covered up. Now, how many of us here, anybody here whose basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, are not covered up? We all are fortunate than the 75% of the whole world's population. We don't appreciate that. We don't thank God for that. But simply we go in front of the deities and keep on complaining, keep on demanding, keep on asking more and more. It is said that if you wake up in the morning and if you see a sun rising in the eastern horizon, you are fortunate than 2 million people. Because 2 million people in this world are born blind. They have not seen even one ray of sunshine in their life. Are we not fortunate? Should we not be grateful to God for what He has given us? We won't sell this body. If somebody tells, okay, donate your eyes right now. Eyes is just, what you can see is just some vision here and there. But will somebody donate his eyes? No. Because for that person, that eyes is so valuable, he understands the value of that eye. And who has given that eye? Who has given this body to us? God has given. And most of the people, give me this, give me that. That's the only purpose for them to visit temple. Nothing else. They can't see anything beyond that. That's the misfortunate condition of the people of this world. It is said that if you can smile and appreciate life, you are fortunate. If you can smile, if you can even give a smile, and if you can appreciate life, you are fortunate. Because most of the people, they can smile, they can appreciate, but they don't. You can smile. Come on, smile. So try to understand that happiness in this world doesn't come by acquiring or by asking things from God. Happiness comes by appreciating and recognizing what we have, the gift of God. Then, when we come to temple, we will not simply demand, or we will not simply put list of things in front of God, but we will actually thank God in devotion. Otherwise, our consciousness is so much caught up in asking, okay, how can I fulfill my demands? So if we can count the blessings which we have got, we'll be most happy. But if we will simply... But if we simply keep on complaining, then we'll be most miserable. And why can't we appreciate? What's the reason? Why can't we appreciate things? Why can't we appreciate what God has given to us? It's just like a child in a supermarket, you know, who is going with a parent, and parents are taking a stroll in a supermarket, and child is suddenly asking from a parent, "Mother, mother, give me this toy. I want to buy this toy." And mother is saying to the child, "My dear child, you have so many toys at your home. Why don't you play with that?" But the child, when he sees something new, he wants, "No, I want it." And he starts crying in front of hundreds of people who are roaming around. And the child will sit down on the ground, not cooperate with the parents. And child will keep on shouting, "My parents, they hate me. They don't love me." Now, parents are the one who have actually, you know, covered the basic needs. They are actually nourishing the child. They are the one who are giving food, clothing, shelter to the child. But now, because child is attached to that toy, child thinks, "Oh, my desires are not fulfilled." And child doesn't thank the parents. Exactly is our case. We are also attached to some toys or other in our life. That toy could be in form of promotion. That toy could be in form of one car or one bungalow or one flat or whatever it is. We all have our toys. Now we don't have to, no, we can't deny that. And because we have our toys, we can't appreciate what God has given us because we get attached to that toy. "That toy, I want that toy. If that toy is not given to me, that's the end all." That's what we think. And the second biggest reason why we are not grateful to God for what He has given us is because of the current advertisement industry. You know, that's the courtesy is goes to advertisement. The credit goes to advertisement industry. Why? Because advertisement industry is expert in creating wants where there are none. And what happens is that advertisement industry has specialized in showing all the things that we don't have. That's what advertisement industry does. Okay, you buy this, you don't have this, you'll be happy when you get it. So it makes us forget what we have, and it keeps on bombarding what we don't have. So the advertisement industry makes us think, "My God, I have nothing. Just see people around me, they are so much happy, they have so many things, and I am the most miserable. I am the only person who is miserable." That's what this media makes us, you know, think. And we become a gullible recipient, actually. And that's why we can't be grateful for what God has given us. But actually the fact is, the media or the advertisement industry advertises only the luxuries and not the essentials. I don't understand. There's a difference between luxuries and the essential needs. There's a difference between a need and a want. There's a lot of difference. That's what advertisement industry is doing, and that's because of that we can't appreciate God for what He has given us. So instead of asking more and more from God, we should be giving Him something from our share, from our quota. Otherwise, our life is not worth living, because it is only in giving that we receive. People don't understand. This is a secret. When you share something which you have, which is so dear to you, then you receive maximum. You receive actually joy in life. But the biggest misunderstanding people have is that if only I could have this, my life will be happy. But that never happens. So, and then there's a story in this regard that, you know, in previous ages, previously, people would profusely give charity. And whatever they would earn, they would make a line. They would make a line, as a two. They would divide it, the whole land into two. And they would throw the money up in the sky. And whatever money falls on the left side, that belongs to God. Whatever money falls on the right side belongs to me. And that's what they would do. Whatever would come on the left side, they would actually give it in charity. It's not mine. It's not my quota. My quota is only this much. What is there on the right side? Time passed. And we created a circle. Our own circle. And we told God, we said that, my dear God, you know, whatever falls in this circle, everything is yours. And the circle is decided by me. What's the diameter? That diameter will be decided by me. And whatever falls outside of the circle, credit goes all, it's mine. Okay, this was up to some extent at least good. Time passed. What happened? Now, people have become so much self-conscious that they have told God, my dear God, I will throw all the money in the sky. Whatever you can catch, that's yours. Whatever falls on the ground, that's all mine. So you take your quota. I'm giving you full freedom. Whole sky is yours. Take it. That's what is our today's mentality, that we don't want to give, but we just want to accumulate and collect more and more. Okay, now, I'm not appreciating what God has given me. If I'm, and I have to approach God for something. Most of the people, when they approach God, they don't even know what they should approach God for. They don't even know what to ask when they come in front of God. It's like, temple is the only place in the world where people don't know which product is being sold here. What I'm trying to say is, if you go to a chemist, you know what you get in the chemist. Will you get an MRF tire? No. You will get a medicine. Various different grades, different varieties of medicine. Everybody knows that. Now, nobody goes to a chemist and asks for an MRF tire. Common sense is there. Now, nobody goes to a doctor in a clinic and says, my dear doctor, you look very neat and clean. Maybe you are a very good mechanic. Just can you repair my car? Because most of the mechanics, they are dressed dirty. So if this person sees, oh, seems very clean, maybe he's a good mechanic. Doctor will tell, yes, come to my clinic. I will fit here something. No? Fit all the nuts here in this system. So it's understood. It's well common that you know where to go for what. And temple, people come. Somebody will ask, my dear God, please, please repair my, broken marriage life. Or please add a pair of tires in my life. I mean, you can understand what I mean to say. I need support in life. So please, add a partner to my life. Give me this, give me that. Different lists of things people come and approach God for. But the only product that is sold in the temple is pure devotion to God. And people don't ask for that. Just imagine you go to a hospital and just tell the doctor, doctor, how are you? Fine, I'm fine, you are fine, everybody is fine, let me just go. But you don't actually utilize the facility that is there in the hospital of getting cured. What's the point? If we don't come to temple asking for devotion for Lord, what's the point? So we have to understand why these temples are created. what we must ask when we approach God. Otherwise, it is just like, you know, asking a mechanic to cure one's disease. No. Of course, God is so merciful that He is standing and He is listening to all the demands. That's His causeless mercy, that He is listening to our stupid, you know, needs. That is His greatness. But we must know what we should ask when we approach God. There's a story. There was one lady, very old. This lady was carrying a huge stock of bundle of woods on her head. And she had to travel a long distance, and in the middle she got tired. And she kept that burden down, right on the ground. And suddenly again, Lord Vishnu, whose heart is so soft, could not see that lady lifting such heavy logs of wood. He immediately appeared on the scene and he asked that lady, "How can I help you?" And this lady said, "You want to really help me? Then you can do one thing. Please help to put this luggage back on my head." And Lord Vishnu, he's shocked. This is what? This is the only thing? Just imagine, that is what is our situation. We don't know what to ask when we approach, when even God comes in front of us. And second is, actually Lord comes to relieve the burden of our karmic activities, which is compared to the logs of woods which are there on our head. But what we tell to God when we approach Him, "My dear God, please help that same log of wood on my head. Please increase the burden." That's what we tell, nothing else. By asking material boons. Because that material boons are first of all temporary, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, and they and they actually incur more karma. So we should be very, very careful of what we should ask. That's why, what is Krishna's mindset? What does Lord want to give us? There's a beautiful narration in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it is said that Krishna kahe, Lord Krishna is thinking, He is saying that Krishna kahe amar bhaje mage vishay sukh. Amar chhadi, amrita chhadi, it is said, amrita chhadi vish mange ehi bada murkh. If we approach God and ask for sense gratification, that is compared to not amrit, but that is compared to vish, Krishna says He is the biggest fool. Approaching me and asking for what? Some wish and some vishay? That's all. But Krishna is saying ahead, but ami vigya, I am very intelligent. I know what to give, to whom to give what. Krishna says, if a devotee approaches me and asks for some sense gratificatory boons, Krishna says, ami vigya e murkhe vishaya kena diba swacharnamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. What a classic statement. This is Lord's feeling. This is what Lord wants to give us. The nectar that is coming out from the lotus feet of the Lord. And fool we are that we want to ask for some material benediction, that is compared to wish or poison. That is God's, that's what Krishna wants to offer to us. But we are so unfortunate that we cannot even think, because our consciousness is so much caught up in the material things of this world. And Prabhupada, he writes a wonderful statement in this verse, for this purport. Prabhupada says, if a person wants material profit from devotional service, that means he comes to temple and ask for the material boons. If a person wants material profit from devotional service, Krishna condemns such materialistic desires. He might give it, he will give it to you, but he condemns within his heart. To desire material opulence while engaging in devotional service is foolish. Although the person may be foolish, Krishna, being all intelligent, engages him in his devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. The point is that we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. What a classic statement. We should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. If we are actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, our only desire should be to satisfy Krishna. That is pure Krishna consciousness. Surrender means not that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on His mercy. If Krishna likes, He may keep His devotee in the poverty-stricken condition. Or if He likes, He may keep him in an opulent position. The devotee should not be concerned in either case. He should simply be very serious about trying to satisfy the Lord by rendering Him service. So yes, this is the purpose of coming to temple. Not to expect something from the Lord, but to give whatever we have. Prana, earth, dhiya, vacha. Whether we have our life to give in us in the service of the Lord, whether we have earth, money in the service of the Lord, we can give that. If we don't have that also, dhiya, we can use our intelligence in the service of the Lord. And if not that also, we can use our words, what God has given us, a speech, to glorify the Supreme Lord. That's the purpose. But the fact is, it's completely opposite. And even if we approach God for some material benefits, Krishna is saying that we should only approach Him. There is no need to approach any other demigod. Krishna clearly makes the position of demigod, I mean, He clearly states the position of demigods in Bhagavad Gita. Who are they? Krishna is saying, Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adirhi devanam devarshinam cha sarvasha. He's saying even the great demigods cannot know me. What to speak of the maharshis and the yogis? Why? Because aham adirhi devanam, I am the source. He is the source of everybody. And also there is one famous quotations which outsiders, people quote, Akasham patitam toyam yatha gachati sagaram. What is that? Sarva deva namaskaram keshavam prati gachati. The people, they use this quotation for what? That we are worshipping demigods and after all it's going to Krishna. So it's fine if you worship demigod. But the purpose, what is said here? Sarva devam namaskaram keshavam pradigajita. You don't need to do chamchagiri or you don't need to apply maskar to any demigods. If you know, if you know prime minister, you don't have to approach the secretary of the secretary of the secretary of the prime minister. It's not needed. You can directly go and approach him. There is no need to apply no need to go for any boon to anybody else except for Krishna. And Krishna also recommends that all other demigod worship is actually avidhi purvakam. It is done with a fruity mentality and it's not worth. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, whether we agree that we have material desires, we all admit that through and through in the core of our heart, we don't have any tinge of service attitude. But even if we have material desires, Prabhupada writes in this purport of Yetha Mam Prabhadyante, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Vrajeta Purusham Param. Whether you have material desires or you don't have any desires, that's okay. Krishna is so merciful that He will fulfill even your material desires. You don't have to go anywhere. Only thing one has to do is Tivrena bhakti yogena. One has to engage in devotion service intensely. Yajeta purusham param. That's the only goal which Srimad Bhagavatam explains. And wonderful example we have in Srimad Bhagavatam is of Dhruva Maharaj. He was a 5-year-old child, one of the most ambitious child the world has ever seen. He had a desire to have the kingdom greater than his great grandfather. That is Brahmaji. And he wanted it desperately without fail. And he was ready to get it somehow or other, by hook or by crook. And his mother advised, you go to forest, you worship Lord Narayan, and maybe Lord Narayan wants, your desires will be fulfilled. And that devotee who was so determined, he went to fulfill his material desires. And by the grace of his spiritual masters, his material desires were spiritualized. When he actually added Krishna factor in his life. When Krishna was added in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, what happened was that his material desires also got purified. And what was his consciousness when he actually derived, Lord actually appeared in front of him after 6 months. And Lord was ready to fulfill his all desires. But then when he experienced the power of bhakti, and he experienced what is the power of devotional service, what happened was that he thought that his desire was so insignificant in front of what he received. Lord is ready to give us what we cannot even comprehend. But we are so much caught up in asking for PTPT things that we just can't think of anything else. But here is a classic example of Dhruva Maharaj. When time came for Lord to give him benediction, what is his consciousness? He is beautifully praying. He is saying to the Lord, he is saying,
Sthanabilasha tapasastitoham tvam praptavam deva munendra guhyam kachan vichinnam apidivyaratnam swamin krutarthosmi varam nayache.
He's saying, my dear Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you. You are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons and the kings to obtain. I was searching for a piece of glass, but instead, my Lord, you have given me a most valuable jewel. Therefore, I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benedictions from you. This is the greatness of God, that He will give us the unlimited nectar by which we'll actually forget the threefold miseries of this material existence. Not only that, he's actually condemning himself. He's saying,
Swarajyam yachato modyan manome vikshato bata ishvarat kshina punyena fali karan ivadana.
Dhruva Maharaj is condemning, he's regretting, and he's saying, because of my state of complete foolishness, and because all my pious activities have come to an end, although Lord offered me his personal service, I wanted some material fame, name and prosperity. My case is just like that of a poor man who when he's satisfied a great emperor, who wanted to give him anything he might ask, out of ignorance asked only a few broken grains of husked rice. So it is just like when we are approaching God, it is just like approaching a millionaire and asking from him a check of 25 paisa. Is it worth? It's an insult. If you approach Bill Gates and Bill Gates tell you, okay, all my treasury is open for you, ask anything. He said, no, just give me a check of 10 paisa. Bill Gates will think, what the hell, who I am, what do you think? Come on, ask something substantial. Our condition is just like that. We ask petty things, we ask small things. In the contrary, where Lord is ready to open His entire kingdom for us. And this is what is the power of bhakti, that when when you experience the power of bhakti, what happens is that is our desire to surrender to Krishna becomes more and more. As a result, our material desires get purified and all our material desires actually appear very insignificant. It's nothing. In fact, the only thing is we lack is lack of surrender. For a material person, he does not surrender. And for a devotee, Maya convinces a material person not to surrender. And for a devotee, Maya actually convinces devotee to postpone surrender. Devotee is very close, but still, because we are attached to something or other, we don't completely surrender ourselves completely. So if we, the logic is very simple. If you approach God in a very calculative way, God will switch on His calculator. His calculator is very strong. He can calculate in a better way. And He'll also reciprocate in a very, very calculative way. But if we approach God in a very devotional way, when there is devotion involved and no personal benefit for ourselves, Lord will switch off His calculator and He will give Himself completely. This is the secret of advancement, that we don't ask anything from God, but we actually give whatever we have, serve in some way or other Supreme Lord. Beautiful example we have is from Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna was small, He was just playing as a cowherd boy, and a cowherd girl, a woman who was selling fruits, she came, approached the door of Nanda Maharaj and said, anybody would like to buy any fruits? And this lady, simple lady, she had only few fruits. And Lord Krishna, He came with a palm of grains in order to get some fruits. When this lady, this woman, she saw the beauty of Krishna, she was so much thrilled that she decided to give the entire basket to Krishna. Krishna, take it. She didn't wanted anything from Krishna. And what did Krishna give? Krishna gave a palmful of grains. And when that lady returned home, she saw that her whole basket, which contained only palmful of grains, got converted into beautiful, beautiful gems, rubies, emeralds, jewelries. This is what is God. This is what He wants to give us. Only thing He expects from us is not calculative mentality. Okay, if I will give God this much, then God should give this much. No, He does not expect. He just wants devotion from us. When devotion is there, Krishna is willing to give up everything. A beautiful example is Sudama. Sudama, what did he had? He didn't had anything in his life. He was on the streets. And his wife forced him that, no, you must go to Krishna. Krishna will help you. He didn't have any desire. He said, how can I go and approach the Supreme Lord? That will be like, conducting a business. I can't do that. But then, because he was being forced, he just did it. And when he reached Dwarka, the way he was welcomed, just by seeing the hospitality Krishna gave to Sudama, he actually forgot the reason he had come to Dwarka. He actually forgot to ask for what he had, what was the purpose for him to come to Dwarka. The experience of devotional service actually made him forget. We have to experience the power of bhakti. Then we'll actually forget asking all pity pity things. And we all know what happened. Krishna served him so nicely. And when he, in fact, he washed the Supreme Lord. Shushrushaya paramaya padasam vadanadibi pujito deva devena vipradevena devanat devavat. It is said that Supreme Lord, pujito deva devena, one who is worshipped by the God, worshipped by all the demigods, and who is master of all the brahmanas, that same Lord Krishna is worshipping and washing the feet of Sudama Brahman. He is feeling very embarrassed. And he's thinking, Kwaham daridra papiyan, kwa Krishna Shriniketana, Brahma Bandur iti smaham bahubhyam parirambita. I am a sinful poor Brahmana. I don't even deserve to sit next to Krishna. But here is Krishna who actually embraced me. This is God. This is the love of Supreme Lord. That he is ready to give us everything. And when Krishna, he tasted that one morsel of chipped rice, and he again, when he tried to take the second one, Rukmini Devi had to stop him. Stop, my dear Lord, stop. I am obliged to give him unlimited amount of opulence for not only for this life, but for the next. This is God, that he doesn't want anything from ourselves. He simply expects some little devotion. And if we can surrender, if we can approach God with this attitude, in the mood of service and not in the mood of expecting something from God, then Krishna gives everything. So, of course, many things can be spoken, but people of this world, they surrender their life for unwanted cause. Why can't we surrender our life at the lotus feet of the Lord, where profits are unlimited, the results are incalculated, we can't even comprehend. So, Prabhupada writes that whether we have material desires or whether we have no desires, we just have to worship the Supreme Lord. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to worship anybody else but the Supreme Lord. Again, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. This is the only thing that we need to do. Worship the Supreme Lord with all our hearts at all times. And then just see, Lord fulfills all our desires, and he will give us more than what we can imagine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience hearing, and please forgive me if I have spoken anything wrong. Hare Krishna.